Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. My first guest today says everything we know about creating, we know intuitively from the natural world. Tina Welling joins me in just a moment to talk about her three-step spirit walk process to enliven and inspire our creativity. Coming up around 12:35, international best-selling thriller writer Steve Martini joins us. He's going to talk about Face Off. It's a brand new project that's never been attempted in the literary arena before. Kind of fun. So stay tuned to learn more about that. But first, I'm very pleased to welcome Tina Welling, the author of Cowboys Never Cry and two other novels. Her nonfiction has appeared in Body and Soul and a variety of anthologies. And her new nonfiction book is Writing Wild, Forming a Creative Partnership with Nature. Tina Welling, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here, Vicki.
Loved your book. We were joking before we came live because we were going to talk about nature and creativity, and I was prepping for today's show down on the beach at Dash Point here in Washington yesterday.
Nice.
have notebook, have laptop, whatever. Just
yeah.
Get out there in nature. But I want to begin today's conversation with you. You begin your book with the story of a hike to Josie's Ridge on Snow King Mountain. And far from being just a regular hike that day, you had somewhat of an awakening. Tell us about that day, if you would.
All right, I will. I was just standing there at the mountain, kind of getting my bearings, and there had been cloud cover that day, so it was a little darkish for the moment, but there were just big clouds kind of floating by. And as I stood there, the clouds moved and the sun came out, and suddenly this tree that I was standing before just was totally lit up with a spider web that had just really encompassed the entire tree. The tree itself was a little unique. It was a dead tree, but it was very big, flowing tree, whereas in the high altitude here, we tend to have tall, sturdy, compact sorts of trees, you know. And so that was unique in itself. But suddenly the sun just lit up this spider web. It was like it was all strung with fairy lights. And I just had this sort of momentary realization that our creative energy is connected with that of the natural world. The sun disappeared behind another cloud, and so I began to doubt myself like we do when we just have something pop into our minds like that, you know. But it was strong enough that I wanted to follow through on it and just get it all sorted out.
So how did you go about following through and sorting this out in your own mind, Tina?
Well, I had been writing and journaling, and I live in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, so I had been daring myself to get out in the mountains and hike down the canyons when I was not really of that nature to begin with. I had a business here in Jackson Hole, a resort business and a family, and that took my life over quite a bit at times. So I followed those desires to get this figured out, and I did a lot of reading. I spent a lot of time outside. I did a lot of writing, just asking myself questions about what is this about creative energy and why does it feel so enlivening to us and how come I do seem to access it more readily when I'm outside. So I eventually, and it took some time, got it down into three simple steps that I could remember and I could follow, and I could pass them on to students that began coming my way, writing students and journal-keeping students.
Mm-hmm. So let's take a high-level look at that. You call this your spirit walk. So I love that. It's you say it's a writer's form of meditation, and not just writers. I know business executives who carve out, even if it's just 20 minutes a day to go out and commune with nature, if you will, because it helps them just either clear their head or it helps them think something through. So how did you come up with the process? Tell us what the process is.
I really just spent a lot of time working on it. And at the same time, I would sort of find that it disappeared before my eyes, you know.
Right.
And then other times that I think, what was that again? And then other times it seemed like it was so obvious. Why bother writing about it? But eventually I understood that it's kind of like that about a lot of things in our lives. And I felt, thank goodness for the many writers who did take the time and effort to just sort things out for me personally and get them all down as simple as possible. So that was all my driving urges there, to get it into three simple steps. And I called it a spirit walk because I wanted to just capture that idea of having the spirit of my place connect with the spirit of me.
Mm-hmm. And so if we take a very high-level look, well, let's go to break, and when we come back, we'll take a high-level look at the spirit walk, and I have a bunch of other questions I want to ask you, too. My guest here is Tina Welling. Her new book is called Writing Wild, Forming a Creative Partnership with Nature, and you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please stay tuned.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations, both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
This is Vicky St. Clair with Conversations Live, asking you to please go to 1150kknw.com and complete the 2014 listener survey. Your confidential responses help me and other hosts produce the kind of programming you prefer. As a thank you for providing feedback, your name will be entered to win a trip for two to majestic Victoria, BC. So please go to 1150kknw.com and tell us what you'd like to hear more of. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
Notice anything different? You should. There's no other station like Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And my guest is Tina Welling. She's the author of three novels, and her new book is called Writing Wild, and it's about forming a creative partnership with nature. And Tina, I think it's fair to say, I don't think this book is just for writers. I think it's for anyone who wants to connect with creativity and that interconnectedness we have with the Earth's energy, right?
I believe that, too, and I have tested it on visual artists quite a lot, and so, yes, I think that that's a very true statement.
So we were talking before the break about what you call the spirit walk, and you have a three-step process to that, naming, describing, and interacting. So I wonder if we can just take a high-level look at that.
Yes. Naming gets us in our place. We are outside. It could be our backyard. It could be a wonderful park. And if we begin naming what our senses bring us, we are grounding ourselves. We are making ourselves a part of the earth around us. And we name what we see, the sounds we touch. Maybe we might even taste a leaf. We smell things. And that just brings our whole body and mind and system into relationship with the earth. From that point, we take one particular thing that grabs our attention. In the book, I refer to a pine cone, and I wrung my fingernail down it for the sound, and I actually tasted it, and I smelled it. And I described all this in writing. And by doing that, we are really getting a more intimate level with a more intimate relationship with one particular thing of the natural world. And that really brings us into a closer awareness, and we're more awake. The third thing that happens doesn't really take any effort at all. It's this automatic kind of rising of memory, emotion from our body, stories that we have. It's the same kind of event that happens when you're in the presence of a beloved friend that you trust. You find yourself remembering things that you didn't know that you had even noticed. And that's the sort of way that we feel that we're having this exchange with the natural world. Mm-hmm. We're giving it our attention and our affection, and it's giving back to us a deeper sense of our own aliveness and awareness and in our own stories.
Right, lovely. You talk when you've had your awakening, around the time you had your first awakening, we just talked about, you saw a postcard that said, "Wake up, you live here." Tell us what that means to you. What does it mean to be awake to you?
To me, it means that I'm living fully. Joseph Campbell said it very well. He said, "Everyone is looking for a meaning for life," he said, "but I don't think that's really what it is that we're seeking. I think that what we're seeking is an experience of being alive." So that's what it means to me. And when I encountered that postcard at the very beginning of the book, I had come in from the outdoors, and I'd been totally unaware of what kind of day it was, whether the sun was shining, whether there were breezes on my cheeks. I was in my head, and I had really been living my life in my head up to that point. And I began to try to live more fully, meaning be aware of my senses, be aware of the emotions that are held in my body, address them. You know, I was pushing all the unattractive things down into my unconscious, and the fact is that what we bring into the light, we can work with. What remains in the dark works us. So I think I was living a life in which I was being worked rather than being aware and awake myself.
Right. And that's a good segue into this, because you write about writing into your truth, and you have the ABCs of writing into your truth.
Yeah.
How difficult was it for you to be able to write into your truth? And tell us what that means to you.
Writing into the truth to me means attaching or connecting to our authentic selves, so that we're not doing the outer thing so much, you know, checking around about what's expected of us, how we want to look on the outside, but tuning into our inner authority. So to me, that takes a lot of attention, and then it takes a certain amount of belief in yourself, and then it takes a certain amount of courage to act on this information that's coming.
Right. And those are your ABCs there, right there.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, and for someone who doesn't like writing, they can draw pictures, they can make lists. They work equally as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, all of this can be done in your mind without paper, pencil. It can be done in casual ways with journaling. Most of all, the very core of this is to tune in. Your senses are your power lines to your surroundings. And so once we get alerted in that way, everything else follows. Then we become more aware of what it is our body's feeling. Are we comfortable now? Are we not comfortable? Are we feeling anxiety? And where in our body are we feeling that? As soon as we're conscious of this, everything shifts and changes. We have light on the subject now. We know we're feeling anxious, and another step can follow. But if we're pushing this down into our unconscious, if we're not being aware of it, if we're always list-making and checking off that list, then I don't think we're living fully.
Right, right. One of the things you say in your book, you know, and we talked about this before we came live, is, yeah, it's okay to be idle. And also you mention Bill Stafford, who said that it's okay to lower your standards.
Yes.
You said it's your favorite writing advice.
It's my favorite life advice.
Life advice.
I use it for everything, yes.
So tell us what you mean by lower your standards, because, you know, we put so much emphasis on, oh, I have high standards and I have high expectations. So what does lowering your standards, what's that going to do for us?
Well, yes, our culture does have this idea that this is what we're supposed to be doing, having very high standards. So I sort of love the disrespect of that statement. And to, you know, and to lower your standards to me means just keep lowering this expectation of yourself until things flow for you. In my case, I think of it in terms of until the writing flows for me. And that's what I learned from Bill Stafford, that he does this, did this every morning. He's no longer living, but he would wake up very early in the morning, no matter where he was, and begin writing. And he would lower his standards until finally the words would flow, and it might just be birds sing, you know, mm-hmm. to start him off.
Right.
But when we go around with high expectations of ourselves, we're just putting a lid on our creative energy or our sense of aliveness, because we're already engaged in some outcome that really I don't think is any of our business.
Right.
Outcome's not our business. The moment is our business. The process is our business. So to lower our standards about how much we dust around the house, or often we do dishes or bake, or how we may, you know, dress for certain occasions, all of that frees us to just kind of tune in to what it is we're feeling right now.
Yes, yes. You say in the book, you still, and this is no doubt a practice, like many, many, many things in life, you say that you still find yourself locked inside your head with your own thoughts, but now you know how to re-enter your body. And I love this, the acronym for BYOB, which is normally bring your own bottle, you say has a whole new meaning for you. Tell us about that.
Yes. To me, it means bring your own body. So that's just my shortcut to remind myself, because still I'll just charge out my writing cabin door and go walking along the creek, and I'm thinking and thinking and thinking. And then I'll remember BYOB, bring your own body, and then I'll realize, all right, I have a body with five senses that are each one going to bring me delight in this world. And all I have to do is just stop and be aware and allow that information to come. And there's beauty, there's calm, there's serenity, there's excitement all around me when I'm outside, no matter where I am, if I'm just opening to it.
You say that while we're talking about bodies, what we really need for entering life fully is a soft body. Now, you know, we might go, no, we want a hard body, but tell us what you mean by soft body.
I mean a body that is vulnerable, that is open, that's, yes, not shielded against the world. And often I'll find myself kind of, you know, with stiffened upper arms because I'm tense. I'm once again falling into that place of expecting things of myself. And so if I can soften my body, I'm softened within, my vision is softened, I'm more accepting of what is reality around me. I'm vulnerable. I'm open.
Mm, and we definitely need to be open to get into that creative flow, I think.
Yeah.
We're almost at the end of our segment, but, you know, we were chatting and you said this took you several years to write this book, and then you put it away. And then, you know, a few years later, you worked at it again with a deeper understanding. So tell me what you learned about yourself during that process of writing and developing this book.
During that time, I originally wrote it. I probably began it about 15 years ago. I spent 3 years writing it. Then I tucked it away. So during that time, I learned the truth of these things that had come to me. And I experienced them. I practiced them. Then I began teaching them to workshop students and conferences that I was going to, so that all of this got more solid for me and I could trust it. So I pulled out the manuscript again, and it resonated with me. It held a lot of energy, and I decided to really go for it this time. I felt like it was something that wasn't just written for me personally, but this was working for other people as well, and I was convinced of that by then.
Well, tenacity, I am glad you stuck with it. Tina Welling, it's a really good book, Writing Wild, Forming a Creative Partnership with Nature. And let's tell our listeners what you'd like to leave them with today. What's a final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I would like to leave with the final thought of just keep watching, keep paying attention, be awake. Just the most joyous life.
Thank you so much. Lovely talking to you today. Listeners can find out more about Tina's work at tinawelling.com, tinawelling.com. Her book is called Writing Wild, Forming a Creative Partnership with Nature. And I, you know, this is for anyone who really just wants to tap into that inner creativity and the interconnectedness with the Earth's creative energy. So great book. Please do stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
If a pigeon's holding you, can't fathom out you are what you're supposed to do. If you can't read what right. If you find yourself wake in the middle of the night, get outside. Get outside.
Let's see if I guess that this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing. Writing it, another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicky St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicky partners with people just like you at the exact level you need. Whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicky today. Email Vicky@VickySt.Clair.com. or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicky and her work at VickySt.Clair.com.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a PAWS foster care volunteer. For more information, visit PAWS.org or 425-787-2500. PAWS.org or 425-787-2500.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Canine Caviar, Bothell Feed Center, and Sierra Fish and Pets, we cover the world of animals. This week, July 6th, it's a Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with me. As an animal behavior therapist and trainer, I'll have open phone lines for your calls and questions. If you need help with your animal friends, plan to give me a call. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Listen to podcasts of past shows at conversationslive.net.
You're listening to the refreshingly different Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And Mr. Eric Ryder is back with us. He's been away.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Eric. He's been away on vacation all over my home country. Where have you been?
I've been in the UK and in Ireland, just hanging out in the British Isles, spent some time in London, went to Glasgow for the first time in Scotland, and went to Manchester for the first time. Went to Dublin and Cork in Ireland and had a great time.
I'm glad you did, because we've got 5 minutes here that I wanted to chat with you and welcome you back because we missed you. Taylor did a great job while you were gone, but we did miss you. So I've got some questions here for you. And the first one is, what's the most fun thing you did while you were gone?
Oh, boy. that's a tough one, but, you know,
And keep it clean.
In Glasgow, I went and saw Edwyn Collins perform, and Edwyn's an amazing singer-songwriter, had a band called Orange Juice back in the 80s and then went solo, had a big, big hit called A Girl Like You in the 90s, and I've been a fan forever and ever, and I never had the chance to see him live. And, you know, a few years back, he actually had a stroke, and he was unable to speak. He was unable to play guitar again. And he's been recuperating for years and performing again. And so for a while there, I was worried I was never going to get the chance.
But right.
Now I got to see him in Glasgow, which is his hometown, and it was a fantastic night. And he sounds great. Yeah, he sounds amazing.
Awesome. So, yeah. Just for you. See, timing was perfect.
It was, yeah. I had to catch a very early train from London to do it, but it was worth it.
Worth it. And this one I know the answer to because you told me before the show, but it was on my list of questions here. Did you try any new food while you were over there?
I did. I tried pork belly for the first time, which I don't know why we don't seem to have that here on a regular basis because it's amazingly delicious. So I did try that. Our previous trip, I had tried pigeon. And so I was thinking, maybe I'll get a chance to have some pigeon again because that was surprisingly delicious as well. But this time I had some nice duck and had some pork belly and it was really good. So,
okay.
And apologies in advance to our vegan listeners because I'm trying to cut down on my meat consumption. But when I'm on vacation, I got to indulge.
Well,
sorry.
really quick, when I was a really strict vegetarian, I ate no meat. One day when I was visiting my mom, we had to stop down in Cornwall and I got her, she wanted a bacon bap, which is a piece of bread with bacon in it. And the British bacon is delicious.
It really is.
And I'm carrying it back to the car to her and it smelled so delicious. I snuck a bite and then I give her a sandwich. She goes, "There's a bite missing."
What happened to my bap?
It wasn't me, Mom. I'm vegetarian. All right. So back to you. Did you learn anything new while you were over there?
Oh,
did you come across? I mean, what did you have a first experience other than the belly draft and Edward Collins?
I'm sure I did. trying to come up with that off the top of my head may be hard because I'm still slightly jet lagged. But I tell you what, in the store, I found a bottle of something called gripe water, which I'd never seen before. And it made me laugh. So I bought it because it was only a pound. And it turns out that it's like helps with digestive aid, especially for babies when they get colicky
babies,
and stuff.
Babies. Yeah, colicky babies.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't have a baby, colicky or otherwise.
You had a baby tummy.
But I did have a baby tummy going on over there. So I tried a little bit of the gripe water. And I got to say, I was griping less. So who knew? It's like a natural remedy that's made with like dill seed oil and stuff.
Right.
So yeah, it's... Yeah. It was surprisingly helpful. So I bought it just because it made me laugh, but in fact, it actually did a lot of good. So
yep,
that's what I learned.
Been around forever. Since, I mean, my great-great-grandmother used to use it, so it's been around forever. And did you have, what was the most frustrating experience?
Oh, the most frustrating experience. I was trying to go in Ireland from Cork to this animal park called Fota, which is amazing. It's they don't have the animals in the cages, and they've got like the cheetahs and stuff in closed areas. But the other, like wallabies and the lemurs and stuff, they're all just roaming around, and mm-hmm. you can kind of interact with them. And I'd been there once before, and it was amazing. So I was really hoping to go back. Accidentally got off on the wrong stop on the train in a place where there's nothing, absolutely nothing. So we're just waiting there for an hour for the next train to come through. And the train ticket officer that was there was super nice, and he showed us like a painting he was working on. So it ended up being kind of a fun experience. But then the skies opened up. It had been sunny and perfect tropical weather almost over there for the last 2 weeks. And then like just the skies opened up and poured down rain. And so we decided, okay, maybe this isn't the best time to go to the open air animal park and get wet with all the animals and stuff. So we decided to skip it. And then as soon as we did that, we went to a different place. The sun came out. It was gorgeous. It was perfect weather. This was our last day, so we didn't have time to go back and remedy that. But so that was a kind of a bummer, and that was a little bit frustrating. But
next time,
yeah.
All right, and so we have just a few seconds left here. So best travel tip, since you are such a worldly traveler.
Best travel tip. That's a good question. Book in advance as much as possible if you can. I spent a little too much time, I think, online over there trying to figure out, trying to book things kind of last minute, because I like to keep it flexible over there. But if you're going in the summer, things rocket mm-hmm. up in price very quickly, and it can be kind of frustrating. To just yesterday it was $34, now it's $150. You know, it's it could be frustrating doing that. So if you know exactly where you're going, try your best to book in advance. You got a little more flexibility, I think, in the spring or the fall,
right, but
in summertime,
in summer.
No.
It's very busy. Yeah. Tourism is one of their major industries. Mm-hmm. Well, we're glad to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be home.
Yeah, we're going to have to call Steve Martini. So let's take a quick break while we get my next guest on the line. We're going to talk about something that's never been done in the literary arena before. It'd be kind of fun. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please stay tuned.
Just like in a song from days of yore, here you come a knocking, knocking on my door. But I've never met a girl like you before.
Let's see if I guess that. This just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicky St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicky partners with people just like you at the exact level you need, whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicky today. Email Vicky at VickySt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicky and her work at VickySt.Clair.com.
Did you know that capsizing boats and people falling overboard account for over 70% of boating fatalities?
80% of those fatalities occur on boats under 26 feet and on boats with operators who've had no formal boating instruction. 50% of all boating accidents involve alcohol. Be smart this summer. Know who you're boating with. Wear a Coast Guard approved life jacket and don't drink and boat. This message is brought to you by supporters of Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair and the JMB Group, who wish you safe boating fun.
Hi, this is Susan Harmon, inviting you to join me for the Susan Harmon Hour every Friday at noon on Alternative Talk 1150. Expect surprises, fun, and information from a wide variety of guests sharing their views on up-to-date issues from a spiritual perspective. Again, that's the Susan Harmon Hour, every Friday at noon on Alternative Talk 1150. Smile on your brother, everybody
get together. Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, pack your book bag with Vicki's summer reading list and Denise Jaden's Fast Fiction provides an inspirational guide to writing an engaging first draft of a novel in just 30 days. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to brighten your day.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And my next guest is Steve Martini, international best-selling thriller author. He began his career as a newspaper reporter in Los Angeles and a correspondent at the California State Capitol in Sacramento, specializing in legal issues. After gaining his law degree, Steve entered private law practice 40 years ago. He appeared in California state and federal courts, and he worked as a legislative representative for the State Bar of California, serving as special counsel to the California Victims of Violent Crimes Program. For the past 30 years, Steve Martini has been thrilling us all with his fiction. And today he's joining us to talk about a new collaborative project called Face Off. Steve Martini, welcome.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. And I think it's fair to say that you're also representing today, because we're talking about Face Off, the international thriller writers, correct?
Correct.
So tell us a little bit about that organization to kick off.
It's an organization that was formed a few years back. Prior to that time, there really was no international organization for people who wrote thrillers. There were groups of mystery writers, and we had existed basically as a little subunit or a smaller subunit of that group. And as the group grew and as the genre grew in popularity, it was decided that we needed our own organization. And so there were a group of people got together, spent a great deal of time putting together a program for an annual convention, which is about to be held. Where, in fact, I'll be heading to New York next weekend for the Thriller Fest, which is the annual convention of thriller writers in New York City. And it's been very successful. We each year do an anthology of short stories, and that anthology basically is used to fund the organization and to keep down costs for people who attend who are aspiring authors, okay, people who basically haven't been published yet but who have manuscripts or who are writing a manuscript, and they need assistance. Sometimes they get critiques during the seminar. There's a Craft Fest, which is held in advance of the actual convention, and people bring their stories. They meet with agents, literary agents, and publishers, editors. And you know, on a number of occasions, there have been books that have been published, first novels, as a consequence of that event.
And it's quite a long event. It's, what, 5 days, I think I read?
Yeah, actually, I'll be there for a week. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that sounds like fun, and I wish I'd known about it earlier. it's too late for me now, but boy, that sounds a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the project Face Off. It is an anthology, and some of the best thriller writers have got together to put this together, but it's a little different. So tell us why it's a little different.
It is. Face Off is the first time they've actually paired up two authors for each one of the short stories. And it was a little bit tricky to do. In my case, I was overseas at the time I was working on it. I was in Asia, and my co-author was in New York, and so we were dabbling in the middle of the night and talking on the phone, trying to coordinate, given the time difference. But it was a lot of fun. Actually, I enjoyed it, collaborating with someone else. One of the writers, in my case, it was me, took the task of doing the initial cut on a short story, on a storyline. We discussed the storyline before we actually started running with it. I believe a short outline was exchanged between us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started my first cut. It went back to Linda Fairstein. Linda, who lives in New York and is also a lawyer, was paired up with me. And we basically went back and forth on this thing. I don't know how many times I lost count after a while, but we went back and forth several times until we finally got it in a form in which we were satisfied with the short story. And the story itself is about 40 pages in length. It's tough to write. Most of us are used to writing in a more longer form, writing novels that are maybe 600 pages in the manuscript form. And but a short story, you've got to cut to the chase. There's quite a bit of quick narrative mixed in with dialogue. You've got to keep the story going.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different phenomenon, and not one that's easily mastered, I would say. Its high point, the golden age of short stories, is probably back in the 20s and 30s when there were a lot of magazines that published these short stories from well-known authors.
Right.
Some of the greatest names in literary fiction. But,
right.
In any event, it was a challenge. I enjoyed doing it. I would do it again. But this was a particularly unique one because of working with another author.
Right. And in working with that other author, there were 23 authors, because I think two of the authors worked together as a partnership all the time. We've had one of those on here before. But you took your most iconic protagonist, if you will, from each of you, and they had to come together somehow in this story.
Right.
So in your case, it was Paul Madriani, mm-hmm. excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And in Linda's case, who also happened to be an attorney, she was a prosecutor for many, many years.
Yes.
Her protagonist is Alex Cooper. So you talked about how Linda put together the first draft, but you mm-hmm. talked about the storyline first of all. And I was wondering if they assigned that to you or if you just...
No, we came up with the storyline ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried to find something. I went out and tried to find something that was topical. And in this case, I don't want to give too much away, but I dealt with the burning of the Benghazi, the U.S. Embassy facility in Benghazi, and what might have happened when you start fictionalizing things like this in terms of documents or items that were found at that location after the trashing of that building.
Right,
and
right.
That created the mystery. It led to a murder in California, and from there spun out of events. And there were scenes set in New York. There were scenes set in California. There were scenes set back in New York again around the UN. So it was it was definitely an international story.
It had tentacles.
It had tentacles into the Middle East.
Yeah.
So I don't want to give, like I say, I don't want to give too much away in terms of what it was, but it deals with ancient artifacts, the loss of those ancient artifacts, what happened to them, and the mystery surrounding it, as well as a murder.
Right. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to continue talking with my guest here, Steve Martini, and we're talking about Face Off. So please do stay tuned. I've got lots more questions for Steve. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. This is Vicki St. Clair with Conversations Live, asking you to please go to 1150kknw.com and complete the 2014 listener survey. Your confidential responses help me and other hosts produce the kind of programming you prefer. As a thank you for providing feedback, your name will be entered to win a trip for two to majestic Victoria, BC. So please go to 1150kknw.com and tell us what you'd like to hear more of.
next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Pack your book bag with Vicki's summer reading list. And Denise Jaden's Fast Fiction provides an inspirational guide to writing an engaging first draft of a novel in just 30 days. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair has a new Facebook page, so you can see what's happening on our show and what we're up to between shows. Like us on Facebook and look out for upcoming contest drawings.
Stay informed with news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour, weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, and we're talking with thriller writer Steve Martini. We're talking about the book called Face Off, which is an anthology, 23 of your favorite characters, I believe, wrote 11 electrifying stories here. So, we're talking about, in the break, you put together an outline, first of all, for your story, because we're saying it's right. A very definite art writing a short story. So tell us what you put in the outline without giving the story plot away. But, I mean, what were your main concerns about, we have to hit these points?
Sure. You'd have your plot points. Those are the major points in the story. You might have any twists that occur. You would probably lay out in a paragraph or two, very brief paragraph or two, the entry into the story. And then you probably have a list of characters with a little cryptic information about their background. Now, that doesn't mean these things wouldn't change as the story developed. It always does, whether it's a novel or whether it's a short story. But you've got to have the skeleton of the story laid out before you can really start to put any flesh on it. So it's if you don't do that, you're going to write up a lot of dead ends. And in a short story, you're going to get in a hurry and trouble.
Right. So how are your writing partners selected? Did you just stick names in a hat? How did that work?
I don't know how, to be honest. I don't know how they did that. They simply assigned two writers to write together. And I got an email, I believe, from Steve Barry, who's one of the participants. And he was sort of in charge of heading this thing up to get it started. And he notified me that unless I had objection, Linda was going to be my partner. I said I had no objection. She and I had met before. We had been on panels in New York. There's a short list of legal novelists out there, and you're going to meet most of them as you go through your career. So
right.
Once or twice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just so our listeners know, I mean, some of the other thriller writers on here, John Sanford, another of my absolute favorites.
Right.
Steve Berry's been on our show many times. James Rowlin, MJ Rose has been on our show. Lisa Gardner's been on our show. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really big names here.
Yes.
And you talked about the difficulty of, working together, really, because we have this international stage now where we can work with people.
Yes.
I do it all the time in different countries. But what was probably the biggest challenge for you?
Actually, the writing of the short story. I've only written one before this. And people who don't write for a living cannot understand the difficulty of writing in that short form. I mean, I guess to most people it would sound easy because it's shorter than a novel. A novel's a mountain to be climbed, but you have a lot of latitude because of the length of the work itself. When you're writing a short story, you don't have that. And as a consequence, if the story falls apart as you're approaching a deadline, there's going to be a lot of panic involved because it's not an easy thing to fix. Okay, you can't just go back and substitute another chapter because you don't have the space to do that.
Right.
So I would say it's working in the short form was the most difficult part of it. The other thing was when you're dealing with topical issues, which are in the news today, you always have to be careful that events don't overcome you. Okay, and that's a danger. You're playing with a little bit of a risk, a little bit of a gamble there that something could happen that takes away the substance of the background for the story, or does something that changes the factual layout of the ground in front of you, and it wobbles under your feet as you're writing. So that was a bit of a risk,
right.
But it turned out.
Right. So having gone through this process now, what would be the top couple of tips that you give to people if they're interested in writing short story?
I would say try it. Do it and see how it works for you. I mean, the only way to know about writing is actually to do it. Develop an ear for hearing your own dialogue. try and deal with character development. You just have to sit down and write. That's basically the bottom line. And I would also suggest you start with an outline. Have some idea what you're going to write about, where the plot points are, and how the story is going to wrap up, what the ending is going to be. If you can master those elements of it, and you have the ability to write, you can get there. A lot of it's trial and error. I remember when I first started, I would write several pages, and my dialogue didn't satisfy me. And so I had a very critical ear. I would go back, I'd recraft the dialogue, do a lot of revisions, and you'd get there. Sooner or later, you'd have a good 10 pages, and those 10 pages sounded as good as much of what I was reading that was published. So that gave me the confidence to keep going. So a lot of it's a confidence game for yourself. You have to believe in yourself. If you believe in yourself, you can get there.
Yeah. The book was edited by David Baldacci. So what was his role in that? Did he just, I'm assuming he didn't go through and actually edit everything.
Well, I don't know. Either he or someone who worked with him, I'm sure, did. They did a great deal of editing. We got the story back several times for rewrites with suggestions. So there was some heavy-duty editing that went into this project. So I would say it was as good as it was edited as heavily as anything I've ever done with publishing houses on a longer form. So they took it very seriously. I don't know exactly what David did, but I'm sure he had a hand in going through the stories. Probably, I'm sure he read every one of them. I would suspect that he may have made suggestions, and he may have had other people helping him do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what you're working on now, what you personally are working on now.
I'm working up against a deadline, actually. I'm working on another story.
So we need to speak quick.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm working on a story that basically deals with a lot of politics. It's international in flavor again. It has a background in international banking and finance, but also involving murder. Deals basically with offshore banking and the nasty things that can happen in that realm. Now that a lot of governments have gotten involved in regulating it and trying to figure out where the dollars are, bought or the euro have gone, and how to repatriate them and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I spent some time in Switzerland a couple of months ago doing research. It's a different kind of story for me. I'm enjoying it. I often do these kinds of stories where I deal with something I know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of them. I've dealt with nuclear fission on one occasion for a book that dealt with nuclear terrorism. And you can learn a lot doing that. I love to do research. It's one of my favorite things.
So. Yeah, mine too. People look at me as though I'm mentally, is there something wrong with you when I was that injured?
I was one of those kids that read the World Book or the Encyclopedia Britannica for entertainment, when I was little. So, yeah.
Right. So what you've been doing this a long time now. I don't know how many books you've written. A lot. Do you have a count?
Yeah, I do. I've written 15 novels. 12 of them are in the Paul Modrigiani series. 3 are outside the series. I've enjoyed every minute of it. I've slowed down a little bit as I've gotten older. And my only real regret is that I didn't start earlier. I started writing when I was about 40, and I wish I'd started 10 years earlier.
Yeah.
But then I wouldn't have had the years of practicing law either, which gave me the background.
That's right.
To do the stories that I did. So.
And the tenacity to do all that research, too. It's a great opportunity, as you said, to learn more.
Yes.
So I want to let listeners know that, the international thriller writers scattered across 41 countries. You've got 2,600 members.
Yes.
Together, you have nearly 3 billion books in writing, in print. That is a lot of books.
It is. There's a lot of energy paid to the organization, put into it. It's a labor of love for a lot of these people.
Yes, it sounds like it. And it sounds like I hope you have a great event in July. I wish I was going myself. So a final thought, Steve, you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
Well, I would tell any aspiring writers out there to keep writing, not to give up. It can be done, I know, because I've experienced it, and it's a wonderful life.
Thank you. Thanks so much. And, of course, you can find out more about Steve and his work at stevemartini.com. That's correct, right, Steve?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. stevemartini.com. And you can find out more about his work and his books and more about Face Off there, too. And the book here is, you can't miss it in the bookshelves. If you aren't watching on video camera,
It's this red and white book here. You can't miss it. Face Off, edited by David Baldacci. And literally, it's got a ton of my favorite authors in there. So I want to thank you for being with us today. Appreciate you spending this hour with us. We will be back next week with an all-live news show. Until then, you can reach me if you have questions or comments or feedback on today's show at conversationslive.net. You can also reach me at 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617. And follow me on Twitter, chat with me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair. And then you'll find Facebook at Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And if you haven't already done so, would really appreciate you jumping on the KKNW website and taking the survey, letting us know what you like about the show, what you'd like to see more of. It really helps me as an independent host. Thanks for being with us. See you next week. Until then, live well, live strong. Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.